go. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously Fukushima'd island-chained paradise of New Zealand, the place where the radiation levels are so high that you can even get a part-time job as an energy-saver light bulb. And my very special guest is Jacqueline Jax Taylor. Welcome back. Now, we wanted to talk about asset sales. And John Key just puts the ass in asset sale, doesn't he? Because that's what he's doing, essentially. He's selling everybody's ass down the river, and there really ain't nothing anybody can do about it. And that's what I find interesting, is that we're trying to use the legal channels by which the criminals who break the law constantly give us to reject and change their criminal behavior. That seems really ironic to me. At the same time as knowing for a fact that it doesn't work anymore. like there used to be times when, you know, submissions would make a difference, protests would make a difference, referendums would make a difference. And in the last about 10 years, it hasn't changed nothing, ever. Every single bit of the agenda that comes through the government, whether they be Labor, National, Greens, whatever, doesn't matter. The people, your voice, legality, standard procedure, etc., no longer matters.
It's basically, one of the worst problems with all of this, I think, is the fact that people still believe that these kind of things can be changed by them in the old-fashioned way, and obviously they can't. As one of the people who did go out on the streets voluntarily, I might add, to ask people and to encourage them to sign the petition for the referendum. Basically, I gave them a choice, and I was far happier talking to somebody who had voted for National, who did put the argument up to me, or, you know, wanted to debate the fact that, you know, the government says they have a mandate. This mandate, unfortunately, is predicated on the one vote either of Mr. John Banks or Mr. Peter Dunne. Mr. Peter Dunne, who didn't, incidentally, with United Future, campaign at all on asset sales. He did not, if you check that up. So that wasn't even part of the United Future's campaign. And Mr. John Banks, who, for someone who represents a party that is supposed to be against big government, it's an absolute farce, really. But anyway, so they said they have a mandate. I say to these people before I try to persuade them or ask them if they'd like to sign, well, if this is so good for the country, how is it now, you know, in retrospect, we have all that money that is supposedly gained from the sale of Mighty River Power going to bail out another institution like Solid Energy, who have literally frittered and God knows what else they did with the money, and the public have had to bail them out and help a company that is basically pulling out of their contracts with them give them money too. None of this makes any sense.
I like it how Pike River's also got a little Illuminati pyramid as their logo too.
Right. And the other frightening thing, and this is sad too, is the Pike River mine was one of the worst, you know, tragedies to beset New Zealand before the awful earthquakes. And I'm so happy for those people, those poor families, if it actually does give them any rest and respite from what they've had to go through, that the government is finally coming to the $7 million, you know, party to attempt to get those bodies back. However, what dampened that for me yesterday was listening to Simon Bridges, who's the minister in charge of that, literally in the same sentence say that he personally didn't believe they were going to find anything or, it was going to do anything. So in that case, I wanted to ask him if I had the chance, well, why are you doing it then? Is this some kind of PR exercise, basically just to say, oh, well, the government is kind of listening, even though we have no belief in it. So we'll just give you a bit we'll give you a little bit of money. We'll make that as a sop. Perhaps then you'll be quiet. And then we can get on with the business of doing whatever we are going to do with that. On the other hand, they are then criticising all the people who worked so hard and the people, even National people who did sign the asset sales referendum, and decrying them for the $9 million it's going to cost to hold a referendum that these people have asked for because they do not believe the government had a mandate, even when they did vote for them. So the bottom line with this is you've got to look at where the emphasis is going and on what they're saying with the money. So they're quite prepared to give $7 million for something they don't believe in for the hell of it.
The closest thing John Key ever came to a mandate was when he went to the big gay out. That's all I'll say.
Okay. But you've, again, when we're looking at elections coming up and when we're looking at how they will backtrack, how they always do, we did this, they did that. We were responsible for this, they did that. You know, they keep hammering the fact.
I love it how they do that. Yeah. Every single time we get elected, all of the things that we're breaking our promises of. Okay, see if I got this straight. We made a promise to do such and such and blah, 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 okay, to correct the mistakes of the people before us and such, blah, blah, blah. Then after they get elected, they go, okay, we're going to have to do actually the direct opposite of everything that we promised because of the people before us who did such and such and blah, blah, blah. And so they get away with not ever doing anything that they ever freaking promised. Because they don't care. They just don't care.
And the most stupid thing is, so they spend the first couple of years of the three actually undoing everything, spending all that money to undo or discombobulate everything that has been done, spend the rest of the time slating the opposition parties. And this actually brings me to the thing right now. It's interesting why they are actually addressing the New Labour situation with such a ferocity and trying to denigrate it so much by paralleling it to things like New Zealand Idol or whatever. And this is a deliberate attempt by the people that are, you know, that run these campaigns, the spin doctors, to actually, in New Zealanders' minds, denigrate the whole process. If you were to do the reverse and do this to the National Party or ACT or something else comes up, it automatically comes up to try and divert from that. So you either get something like the snapper issue or you get told that, no, New Zealanders are totally not interested in anything like that. Well, actually, we are interested. We were more interested in who's going to snoop on us than the snappers. It was shown in the kind of polls. Maybe people didn't submit in the same way as John Key said they submitted on the snapper issue. I made the point, actually, that it's much easier to submit on a snapper issue than it actually is on a snooper issue, simply because they made the GCSB bill so complicated. Yeah. Same thing with the asset sales. They made everything sound as if it was so hunky-dory. I can assure you, having spoken to a couple of National Party voters who won't be doing that again, who actually did buy Mighty River Power shares to help the country to so-called, put money back in and we're going to own it, except they won't be doing that again because they could see now how on earth is the Meridian one off the back of this going to actually make them money in the short term. It isn't. What will happen eventually is people will get so fed up with it. Economic necessity will drive them to actually sell these and the things will be owned offshore. And I'm not sure how that benefits New Zealand in any which way at all.
This is part of a broader agenda. The World Bank had a white paper leaked. It was called 111-point plan for privatization. And every single country that the World Bank has been involved in loaning money to, whatever, has lost all their state assets, has become a corporate government, and has become more or less some kind of police state. And that's basically what New Zealand's turning into now, isn't it?
Yeah.
A bankrupt, corporate-controlled police state.
Yeah, and one that basically is rewriting laws or amending them to suit whatever's happening at the time. So the interesting thing is when protesters or demonstrators, dissidents or just ordinary people who say, no, not in my name, or no, I don't want you to do this, or no, I'm going to stand up for this, actually go to court and use as a defence, I had no criminal intent. And that is the same. That is the same thing that actually got the people from the GCSB off the fact that they acted unlawfully. So that's one thing I would actually like to recommend to everybody when they are. I'm not talking about being stupid here. I'm talking about things where you are charged with something where you know that you are doing it lawfully, and they are telling you you are doing it unlawfully, and you say to them, okay, well, there was no criminal intent, prove the criminal intent. I will be really interested when someone uses that as the first precedent, because if the police cannot prosecute people on the basis that they could not prove criminal intent.
Well, that's what the police thought that the Occupy movement was about, criminals' intent.
Exactly, exactly. And they did a real job on them, didn't they? So they did it.
What was interesting about the eviction of the Occupy movement is that you've got Len Brown, who was the former mayor of Manukau, and the same cop that I saw unlawfully destroying a building in Manukau when I was down there this one time was the same cop that was up here pulling the media string and doing all of this thing up in Central Auckland. And it was actually Manukau police that were called in, because Central Auckland police said they have a lawful right to be there. They're not breaking any laws, and they've got the right to freedom of expression. And then the chief of Auckland police goes away on holiday for the weekend, and then they come in and they use private security. The police don't lay a hand on anybody. The police just protect the private security from the protesters possibly laying a hand on them, so that the private security can remove all the protesters. And I come up and there's this guy, this one guy, and I've seen him a number of times at protests, he's an evil scumbag. I don't know what his name is, what his rank is, but he's starting to get higher up here's the thing, if you're a policeman and you're a scumbag, you get promoted. It's just that freaking simple. And as soon as I asked him, what is the reason why you're removing these people? Did not the Auckland Central Police say that they support the protesters and are going to leave them alone? He then cancelled the press conference right then. Didn't answer my question and said this press conference is over. And the mainstream media did not report that. They did report, on the other hand, that a number of the police who were doing the removals had the same badge number.
Well, that's another classic. But the other thing with the Occupy as well, of course, is the fact that those same people, I believe, were photographed there, who run the same kind of companies that had infiltrated other protest movements. And, of course, they're all interrelated. The funny thing in New Zealand is you can actually see these links and connections a lot clearer because we're much smaller. So the same people tend to gravitate, you know, a bit like scum to the top of a bath. And you see them and they are more visual, again, like you. I've got so much information whirring around in my little head at the moment, I can't actually remember. I can visualise the man now who was president at Occupy as well when that happened. Having said that, Penny Bright proved that a citizen who is fairly adroit at addressing some of these issues and understands process can actually defeat
but people, it defeats them in court.
People in court.
Long after Occupy movement is defeated on the ground.
Yes, and that is, again, the sad thing.
And they don't come back.
No, and that comes, that comes in bylines on page 5 or 6 rather than in headlines. So there we go. We've also got to understand who is, who is moving the shakers or shaking the movers in the media too, and who tells them, oh, yes, you can go and have a look and you can go and cover that story. I've met many journalists on the ground, reporters, echo chambers, whatever. Some of them are really trying very hard to get some of the information out, some of them not so much. To distinguish between the two, when you actually look in our papers or look in our TVs, is quite hard to do now. So I'm not going to have a mass slaughter on all of the press, because I've spoken to individual journalists and actually been told, listen, we would love to put this up, but the likelihood of this actually making the news or making anywhere in the paper where people are likely to see it is not high. It really isn't.
Yeah. Well, still, I mean, my last paycheck was like $5,000 cash and nearly $12,000 in Westfield shopping vouchers. If I can give that up in order to become a journalist who's got credibility, then surely these journalists can give up their job in order to come out and speak the truth. But they can't because they're too freaking cowardly. That's the thing. Regardless of what their intention is, regardless of what their morality actually speaks to them, even if they disagree with the institution for which they're currently purporting the propaganda, if they don't quit, then it is a moral judgment on them.
Yeah, and they're still part of it. And, I mean, again, Vinnius, we're sort of going into a different realm again now, but it is one that's sort of quite close to my heart. I've followed journalists like Amber Lyons, who, you know, who is a wonderful lady, who actually did lose her job over, you know, the kind of reporting she wanted to do rather than the kind of reporting and editing people wanted to, change what she was trying to do into. Other people like Glenn Greenwald, who actually had his partner detained in Britain on the say-so of the Americans quite clearly because of the Edward Snowden case. We do have people working under the radar here who fall foul, cross lines, obviously, and do end up in our media. And the saddest thing for me is the fact that their own do turn on them or denigrate them or do just definitely don't support them in the way that you would hope that they would be supported. And again, I do mention people like John Stevenson and other journalists like that who... You would think, or even Andrea Vance, who, whatever, regardless of what you think may be the situation there, unlawful processes were followed in spying on her, in trying to shut her up. And where are the people standing up? They do a little two-column article, and then it's over and done with, and we're on to the next thing. But if we keep connecting all these things back again in a place that is as small as New Zealand and say the same movers, same players, same people choreographing, rehearsing the same people to do the same lines, where is it all coming from? And why suddenly are we towing the American line in such a obvious way?
And indeed, I think I might start a band with a percussion and dance called the Movers and Shakers. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you go anywhere at all.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab, and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Johnny Cash song, I've Been Everywhere Man, is now being played on US destroyers while they're launching cruise missiles, because they go everywhere, man, and they got a long range, and that's good. Now, talking about the Middle East, the Western powers, what can we even call a Western power anymore? I mean, really. If we're talking about a Western power, it just seems like a slave government of the New World Order. And that's all that a Western nation really is nowadays, because the New World Order bankers control all of our issuance of currency, ergo they control our parliament, ergo they control our policy, ergo they control our military. So there really ain't no actual decision-making process going on here. It's simply following bankster scumbaggery orders. It's the only thing that's going on. There's nothing different, and it has been this way for decades and decades and decades, every single time. Oh, there's a war. What war? Oh, well, one we made up. Well, how did you make it up? Well, we financed both sides of it. Oh, okay. How much money did you collect off of that? A shockingly large amount. Enough to finance another war on both sides too? Yep, that's right. And what else do you gain out of this other than a huge quantity of money? Well, we also gain politically, geopolitical control of the regions, get to appoint dictators that we handpick and select, and also we get our front man to promote social policies that are really in line with our hardcore Fabian socialism type agenda, which really is just a wolf in sheep's clothing way of getting everybody to be lulled into a false sense of security, or we set up a tyrannical police state around them, and eventually exterminate them and take over the country.
Yeah, I was going to say you forgot about the population cull. Yeah. So it's actually a cheap way of culling some of your population as well by getting them to live in fear. And that's an interesting one again, Vinny, because people aren't going to mention too much about the amount of soldiers and the amount of military who are actually committing suicide, which when you look at the figures from around the world...
Pharmaceutical drugs, man.
Yeah, is increasing, whether it's by their own hand, whether it's with what they are actually being pumped or having pumped into them just to do what they do. The fact that so many of them are sitting behind screens now as well, playing video games that aren't video games and actually killing real people on the ground elsewhere is a frightening new factor too.
It's like Grand Theft Afghanistan.
Oh, God. But the, another worrying thing that we just brought up and spoke briefly on is what are all these things as well taking us, diverting our attention from too? So a week ago, as I mentioned, talking about some of the journalists, we were still talking about Edward Snowden. We had the Bradley Chelsea Manning court case as well. Now, as soon as these things seem to drop off our radar, it's interesting, isn't it, that people's minds are so eclectic now and literally having to keep up such pace, you can't feasibly do it all. So I want to take people back and encourage them to look back to the beginning of the week before last, to where the Chelsea, Bradley Manning, whatever you prefer to call him, court case was up there. Since then, we've had the Muslim general. No, it wasn't a general, was he? It was colonel, the one that killed all the American soldiers in Fort something or other. It escapes me. But anyway, he's been sentenced to death, while perversely... a similar American soldier who actually decimated two Afghan villages and killed little children and mums and dads in their bed in the dead of night, he got life. So what I'm trying to do here is I'm trying to propose the counter of some of these things and show that things aren't balanced in any way. And if we go all the way back to Bradley Manning, Edward Snowden, the Glenn Greenwald case of them showing us what is happening around the world, how much we're being surveyed and monitored, and all the other distractions that are brought in while all this war talk and planning is going on behind us, we are looking very much at the kind of scenario we spoke about somewhere between Orwell and Huxley, where we can't possibly keep up with how it is all happening so quickly because there are so many of them doing this and so many of us still not even on board with half of it, just going, I don't even watch the news anymore now.
I think that's why they call them Orwell, because when people... find out just how bad things are getting and do nothing about it, they just go, oh, well.
Yeah. But, again, the people that I hope are watching and listening to this, you are people that will do. My advice to you is try to concentrate and focus on one of the subjects that is actually something that you are really, really passionate about and try and follow it through. I find that I'm trying to look in so many different directions at the same time that you can't help but not manage to assimilate all that information and actually process it very well. So if we come all the way back round to the Syrian situation, to the war drums that are beating at the moment, and then just do the satellite issues that are all very much connected with what's happening with the economies around the world, what is happening with the employment around the world, what is happening with the same players around the world who are actually rewriting a lot of our laws and legislation, and it's linked to the corporate, the big multinationals who are basically getting bigger and bigger while the smaller ones are just generally fading out of sight. And as Vinny calls it, the New World Order, whatever you want to call it, this is the situation that we were in little countries like New Zealand, where we think we're beyond the reach of this, but we're actually not. We're being dragged inexorably closer to it through things. Another thing I want to mention just quickly is the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. So while Mr. Key and Mr. Cully at the moment in the Pacific, at a Pacific forum, which is very important, meanwhile, elsewhere, the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, which is basically one of the biggest corporate money sponges potentially, which is going to suck the ordinary people in so many of the signatory countries dry to the benefit of a very few multinationals is inexorably moving on. So whether it's farming or pharmaceuticals, any of the other things we're talking about, internet, what we're doing now, you name it, this Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement or agenda, as I prefer to call it, taking people's power away, is another thing that is actually, you know, being distracted and diverted from while we all concentrate on, oh, we need to stop this war, we need to stop this fracking, we need to stop this mining, we need to do the assets. Can you see I'm going on and on? So much. So concentrate on the one thing that you think you can get a group interested in, fully focused on. As I said before, when I first came in here, if we go to war, and this one is a big one, which it looks like it could be, then all these other things do, for the time being, pale in significance, but you can't ignore them. So for now in New Zealand, my advice is concentrate on the things that matter, that actually will affect, it's not selfish, but will affect the community that you can feasibly do something about. Contact the MPs in your electorate. Contact the people that you think can do something about this. Keep hounding your media. However you do it, the only way that you get listened to is to repeat. The only way the people who are coming up with all the ideas to keep us down is repeat, all right? Propaganda, once it's repeated over and 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 over again, eventually becomes the truth many believe and buy into, all right? On the opposite side of that, if we can go, that's not true, that's not true, that's not true, that's not true, and keep doing it with the individual issues, then I think we can make a big difference.
I'd like to repeat over and over again, conspiracy theorist is a good, intelligent, thinking person. A conspiracy theorist is a good, intelligent, thinking person. One more time, because apparently it's not been repeated enough. Conspiracy theorist is a good, intelligent, thinking person. Okay? A suspicious mind is a healthy mind, because if you believe absolutely everything anybody ever tells you, you're not doing any thinking. Hence, you cannot think. You don't develop even the faculty to be able to do so. And you'll notice that there is a connection between those who believe everything the media tells them, okay, and those who are telling them everything that they want to hear, okay? They are a self-supporting little paradigm there. And the complete opposite is conspiracy theorists who go, well, actually, here's a historical context A, historical context B, historical context C, here's some evidence, here's some documents, here's some such and such and blah and blah, and they've got an awful lot of evidence, it turns out, for all of these things that they think. You ask the other side of the equation, well, why do you think that? Well, because I was told that. That's their only thing that they've got. Mm. Conspiracy theorists are good, thinking, intelligent people. They should not be. It should not be an insult, okay? If somebody calls me a conspiracy theorist, like, oh, well, thank you. You think I'm good and intelligent, you know, good thinking, caring person. Oh, we got, you know, exposed scumbaggery. Oh, yes, I'm a proud conspiracy theorist, all right? Conspiracy theorist means a person who believes, absolutely believes, and you can't convince them otherwise, that powerful people who have a lot of influence use their power to maintain or grow their influence. If you're not a conspiracy theorist, you're a coincidence theorist. And you think that everything happens by accident.
I like that.
There's no such thing as backroom deals, no such thing as bribes, no such thing as lies, deception, manipulation, or cover-ups. Nothing exists. Nothing. Okay?
So we encourage you, look for the truth, seek the truth from facts. But in order to find out facts, you actually have to do something. And one of the worst things for me when I'm asking people, please, will you take a look at this? Will you sign this? Would you read that? Would you please share this? Is the worst answer for me is, I don't care. And you know why? Because when I was a young child, there was a poem that I learned, and it was, don't care, didn't care, don't care, didn't care, don't care, was made to care, then don't care did. And this is the whole thing. People go, oh, it's not happening to me. Oh, it's not happening to you. Oh, it's not happening in my near vicinity. Oh, that won't worry me. Well, nothing ever worries anybody, and nothing ever happened to anybody until it actually did. So from earthquakes to wars to unemployment to illness to anything, any of these things actually feasibly can happen to any one of us. And if we don't care until it actually happens, it's too late.
Mm. A wolf is still a wolf, even if he hasn't eaten your sheep yet. And what I find is very interesting is having a look at this. On my Facebook status this morning, I don't know if you read it, Jax, but it was something along the lines of there's two things that are starting to really annoy me. Number one is people who get really, really angry with me and fly off the handle for no real good reason. And the other is people who claim to be all about free speech and freedom itself in general, and then they go and support the establishment because they want scraps from the king's table.
Yeah, and we're living in a world where, yeah, everything has a yin and a yang. Everything has one side and another side. And sometimes before we act, before we do things, we actually need to stop, pause, breathe, think, and then look before we jump one way or the other, because you can't see clearly sometimes when your head is full of noise or when you're listening to 100 different things at the same time. Sometimes the greatest clarity and the greatest clarity of thought comes with just being alone and asking yourself these questions: who benefits? Who benefits this way? Who benefits that way? Who loses? And at the end of the day, why do they want me to believe this? Why do they want them to believe this? Why do they want us to believe this? And actually see if the same answers come up time and time again. Because in general, if they do, and it is narrow and pinpointed to the same people, the same groups, the same institutions, the same kind of methodology, it's beyond politics. It's beyond left and right. It's just right and wrong. And we know this, and sometimes we just walk away or we shake our heads, we go, oh, I don't want to see that. Fundamentally, as human beings, I honestly believe we know this. It's our choice whether we do something about it or not. But by not exercising that choice, your choices and your ability to do that are slowly being taken away from us.
Now, you mentioned my three most hated words before: I don't care. My three most favourite words are I don't know.
Yeah.
And my three most valued words for personal growth: I was wrong.
Yes. And never be afraid of making mistakes, because to make a mistake, at least you've got something to rectify. If you do nothing, if you are inert, if you have your head in the seriously, it's almost like not being alive. It's like being inactive while you are alive, but doing nothing about anything until basically it's right in front of your face. And most times when it's right in front of your face, it's then it is you or them or us. Let's try not to do that. Let's try to provide as many solutions as we find things that, you know, we know are not right, things that are wrong. But you can't just be against everything. You have to be for things too. So we need to have solutions as well. And that's the other part of the thinking side of our brains, is it's all very well saying, well, that's not going to work, this is not going to work. Have a way of empowering people that they can embrace, because everybody is useful for something. We are. And that is the biggest lie that they tell us. It's the biggest lie they tell us as little children, and we grow up believing it. You're useless. You can't do it.
All right. And it's a big BS situation. And you grow up to be an adult that thinks you're useless. We'll be right back after the break.
Bonkers. Bonkers.
Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free, and I'm just living my life. There's nothing crazy about me.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the final segment of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts.
And they'll kill you.
Yeah, or they'll kill you. Well, hold on a second. Can losing your own sense of humour kill you? I was just wondering about this. How many comedians have committed suicide over the years? None.
No.
I've never heard of a comedian committing suicide. You know why? Because humour's a coping mechanism, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, I know that the people you elect to, that are selected to lead you, don't care about you. And basically, you know, at the end of the day, they'd kill you as lookers at you if they could get away with it. And they can, and they eventually will, probably. You know, so this is what I deal with on a daily basis. I'm facing my subsequent extermination with a smile and a cackle on my face, not unlike Doctor Who. And my very special guest is Jacqueline Taylor. Now, you were saying something just before we came back from break?
Which has just completely gone out of my head. But to quote Oscar Wilde, yeah, sometimes if you don't make them laugh, they will kill you, which is quite a frightening thing. But humour is the most important thing. And on a dance floor, believe it or not, between two actions this weekend, I ended up having a conversation with a really intelligent gentleman who our paths have crossed many times. And he said to me, Jax, you know, you can preach and protest and do actions as much as you like, but you are actually mostly appealing to the converted. How about the unconverted? And I went, you know, that's true. That's right. Some of the things that I do, I put online, and I know, preaching to the converted. So some of the people that I actually want to reach, who may not necessarily watch Finney's show yet, but I'm going to encourage them to, are the ones that I actually really do want to appeal to, because these are the swing voters. These are the people who are actually starting to consciously wake up. And despite the decisions they may have made in the past to vote for this, that, and the other, based on the information and the knowledge that they had at the time, they are not foolish people. They are not stupid people by any means. And when they can actually track back what they were told was going to happen, what has happened, and what they are now being told, you know, should happen next time, but there is no guarantee, they will be able to make their decisions based on the probability and the fact that history is probably going to say exactly as I am to them. But you know that's not true. You know that's not true. And here is the evidence to prove that is not true. Don't believe me. Do it yourself. So basically this person actually said to me, you know, getting one person on side who actually does not vote for National, who does not vote for Obama, who does not vote for the New World Order, who does not vote for war on Syria or intervention, whatever they choose to call it, who does not vote for this, that, or the other, that person is as valuable as 10 people who were already on your side.
And they also, incidentally, have a big target painted on their back.
Exactly. And the other thing that this person said, and I've heard this a few times, and again, as I began, when it came in this morning, I said jokingly, except it wasn't a joke, and I was listening to Radio Live. It's literally my radio station flicked to Radio Live as I was coming in. And one of the journalists reminded me that one of the journalists on there on Friday had actually said that he was having drinks with a couple of National supporters who had been fishing. And they were discussing asset sales, and they were discussing, in particular, the Mighty River Power Float. And these guys had said to him, oh, no, we're definitely going to buy shares, blah, blah, blah. And now, presented with the next one that the government wishes to sell, they have actually changed their minds. So that is two people who were very pro, who were totally for asset sales, who have now made a decision based on what they thought, on what they were told, on what they decided of their own volition and did, now they are not going to buy that same story again. That, to me, is a result. Again, the same guy said to me, I have gone against my family, the party that I voted for, based on a couple of things that have happened, a couple of policies that have just been passed, which I looked at and I thought, actually, this is not something that I agree with, and it is not something that I'm going to support. Now, having that told to you at 2 o'clock in the morning was such a bonus for me. I think I smiled all the way home, because It is those people that we need to reach. It is those people that we need to not be in their faces, not berate them, not shout at them, but actually say to them, come on, you are much more sensible than this. When you are being told this is good business, this is good economics, this is, you know, good policy, ask them to look back on what they can actually see, on what they can prove themselves is not the case, and actually ask them, why would they be that foolish to buy into that? Once is a mistake. I don't know what you call twice.
Once is a mistake, twice is a coincidence, three times is enemy action.
Thank you. But Vinny, you know, as we've discussed, it is the people, all right, who will change things. It is the people, not the people at the top, it's the people at the bottom. But for them to change anything, first, what we have to do is we do have to get them to care. And how we do that is we have to make all of this relate to them personally. So it has to be a personal thing. It has to matter to them. To care about something, you have to personalize it, and you have to touch on the things that people care about, whether it is for them personally, for their family, whānau, for their community, and get them to care that way. It's the only thing that has ever, ever changed things.
You know, it'd be lovely if each and every single National supporter was arrested unlawfully by a cop, or had all their money dry up or something like that because of a corrupt business person. And then when they try to report that business person to the cops or the government or the ombudsman or something, they get the runaround and nothing ever happens. What you need to do is ensure that all these people who think that the system is behind them to become victims of the system, then they start to realize the system for what it truly is. And so, you know, if I prayed, and I do one occasionally just when I'm really in good spirits and having happy times, and I think to myself, you know what, I've got it too good. God, please send me some suffering. Please send me, please send me some scumbaggery. Please, like, deprive me of my income or something like that. And surprisingly enough, when I pray for those things, I get them. When I pray for good stuff, no. But
I'm the opposite. I am totally the opposite to that. But what I would say is I do agree with Vinny on that one thing. There was an item on the news yesterday where I think it was the Serious Fraud Office said, we have acted on this particular case because the perception is New Zealand is there is no corruption in New Zealand. Everything is transparent in New Zealand. But I nearly curbed the mags on my Mini. I was like, what? Seriously, they have acted upon this. What happened with so many of the other cases where accidentally they seem to have forgotten that there is no corruption, there is no transparency? Ridiculous.
They always name them what they do. So the Serious Fraud Office runs most of the serious fraud in this country, and including the serious fraud of saying that there is no serious fraud in this country. Okay, well, hold on a second. Why does the Serious Fraud Office exist at the same time telling us that there is no serious fraud? Haven't you just put yourself? Why are we still funding you, bro? If there ain't no serious fraud, or at least what you're telling us right now that there is no serious fraud is actually a serious fraud by the Serious Fraud Office trying to seriously fraud you.
And with the transparency, why are we trying to sign deals, or why are we negotiating them behind closed doors? Because, of course, if all the information got out there, people wouldn't like it and they might protest or they might try and stop it. Well, surely if the deal or the agenda is one that is in the interest of the whole country, of all of us, the people, we'd be delighted about it. We'd be absolutely celebrating in the streets. Wow, bring it on. This must be the most amazing deal. Apparently not. So when we are looking at things like that, let's look for the words, and let's look for the reinterpretation and the misinterpretation of the disinformation that we're actually given as information, because it isn't.
Right. Now, there are two general rules, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be reasonably correct. Number one, anything that comes out of an official source, assume that it's the exact opposite of what they're saying it is. Number two, if you can't make it by yourself at home, then it's a soft kill by a weapon.
And we're going all the way back. Not all weapons of mass destruction are ironclad or come in form of a gas either. Yeah. Some of the worst weapons of mass destruction are actually words of massive, deception, and we are certainly getting plenty of those. We are getting bombarded with them on our airwaves. We're seeing it on our TVs, and most people, sadly, are not even aware of some of the words that they're actually filtering into their common usage, which are actually not true. So that is the one thing, as I suggest people go back to the basics, Janet and John stuff, and think, what was I taught that word meant? Look it up in the dictionary. And if what it is being told to you as in the context of a sentence you've just heard makes absolutely no sense at all to you, then it probably makes no sense at all, because common sense isn't that common these days.
That's why I call it platinum sense, because it's the rarest element on earth.
Yeah. So what we can do today, what we can finish off today is, as people, we do have the power. We have the power that's innate in ourselves to know right from wrong in most of the most fundamental things, all right? Basically, if it's not going to be good for my neighbour, it's not going to be good for my husband, my partner, my child, it probably won't be good for me either. And if people are telling me, no, you can't do that, no, you shouldn't do that, then look at why. Look at why they want you to look at it that way. Always look at both sides of an argument and never think that you're infallible. Never think that you're right. Never think that you're wrong. Somewhere in the middle of that is the truth, all right? And all you have to do is think for yourself, at least think. Thank you.
We'll see.